Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV, Being Mary Jane Season 4, Episode 2, Getting Naked. And of course, we have the one and only Kara on the show. Lisa Vidal is here, you guys. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned right here on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back. We're going crazy. Hey, this song was, of course, at the beginning of the episode, season 4, episode 2, Getting Naked.
Naked.
You gotta say it. There's a difference. Naked and naked. We're gonna talk about that.
Yes.
And of course, I am Meg Scoop, at Meg Scoop on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all around, all your social media. I'm one of your hosts. Who are you, lovely lady?
I'm Phania Thomas. Hi. Yes. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, at Phania Thomas.
She's on Tinder too, y'all. Hit her up on the Tinder.
Swipe.
On the Tinder.
It's all good. Don't. It's okay.
Who else is over here on this panel?
Allie Washington. You can find me across all social media at Allie the Pub. I'm on Tinder too. It's okay.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I am Howard the Third. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Howard the Third. I'm on Twitter. Tell nobody.
Well, someone who's not on Tinder, she better not be in real life.
Hello.
She's been married for, what, 27 years?
Yes,
the one and only Lisa Vidal is here. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
We're so glad to have you again. You come back every season to see us, and we're so grateful because you do such a great job on the show.
Thank you so much. I love you guys. You guys are always fun and a lovely new addition. So I love it. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Okay. Season 4. What are your thoughts? You've already recorded everything. What are your thoughts?
Yes. I love it. I love this show. Yeah. I love being on this show. I love everybody on this show. I love the character I get to play. We have a lot of fun. And season 4 is fantabulous. Erica Shelton Kodish is the new executive producer and Will Packer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not easy to step into shoes that someone else has really sort of worn. And Mara's just incredible. And I have to give it to Erica. She's just done a fabulous job. Mm-hmm. And the storylines, the writing, it's all really fun and, you know, kind of scandalous and exciting. And there's some good stuff this season.
I cannot wait. What was your favorite thing to do or favorite thing that happened this season?
Oh, God, my favorite thing that happened this season? I think my favorite thing that happened this season is how Mary Jane is sort of like really having to dig deeper about her issues, mm-hmm. and how she's not dealing with the reality of what her problem is and why she's not in a great marriage and why she hasn't sort of grown in her life. I think that's my favorite thing that happened and that we've explored. And also, you know, of course, I just absolutely love their friendship, Kara and Mary Jane, and how in the workplace they're hustling. And I love how these two characters get to kind of battle it out sometimes, but they still just have each other's back. Mm-hmm. And they're still sort of like two smart, ambitious women. And
yes,
we can all get along.
Yes,
we can. Yes. And did you guys still film in Atlanta this year?
We did.
I was wondering, it's New York, but you know.
We did. We tricked you, huh?
You did.
But the gag is.
Yeah. So behind the scenes, what's been different or what's been something fun that's happened, something exciting behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes? Well, for me, it was a lot of fun to have Michael Ealy on set.
Hello. Oh, yes.
He's so damn hard to look at.
Hello.
And actually, I met Michael a very long time ago and just such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. So it was really great having him on set. And also Valerie Pettiford,
yes.
who plays Rhonda, mm-hmm. is just fantabulous. And she's just such a... We had so much fun because we just sang all day on set. We just, you know, she's Broadway and diva and all that. And I love to sing and, you know. So we were just walking around with, you know, radio and my little iPhone with the music, and we were just blasting on set, and it was so much fun. And I love her little game with Mary Jane, you know, that little dance that they've been doing. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun to watch. And let me see, what else? What else was...
Do you guys hang out after you're done shooting, like as a cast? Do you guys just hang out after hours?
We always talk about hanging out. We're like, let's get a drink after this. Come on, go back here. And then we're working like 16 hours and we're like, I'm tired. I'm going home. And nobody's hanging out anywhere.
Because in real life...
Yeah, right. It's been a little challenging to get that done. But we did have fun in New York. We went to New York and we all got to hang out together.
I saw that on Snapchat. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I had some adventures.
Yes. And Ashton Holmes, who plays Garrett, so he introduced me to this hilarious comedian, Sebastian Malkascowers, something. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Anyway, he's fabulous. I'd never heard of him. And so Ashton would just put him on the phone and we'd be cracking up on set the entire time. That was fun.
See, yeah. I like it. I like the dynamic. This season's starting off very well. Let's get into it. Let's talk about
it a little bit. Mm.
Let's discuss Niecy first. Her storyline was a little bit shorter this episode, but it starts off with her getting that good sex from her baby daddy.
It was
short,
but very eye-pleasing.
Oh, very powerful.
I like the fact that this show puts, you know, taboo topics, because a lot of times you don't see bigger people having sex on TV.
Right.
And last season, I believe you saw like a really intimate, sexy moment between Mary Jane's parents, which you don't see a lot old sex, as they say, older
people don't have sex.
Apparently.
Liars.
But I like how this show puts that in the forefront and just says, you know what, we're going to... Okay, you don't ever see big people having sex. We're going to do it.
That, and it was interracial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Spicy. That's right. That's fun. Well, you know, you got to know Raven, first of all, because she is a sexy queen.
Yes,
she
is.
And she's so beautiful, and she just embraces all her curves and just always looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. She's just, you know, she's every girl, like, you know, just so sexy and beautiful. And but I want to, I do want to beat up her character.
Right.
I want to smack her upside
everybody
of head.
Else. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Why is Niecy so stubborn like this? Why do you think that Niecy is just so stubborn? Is it because she's young? Is it...
You know, I really do think that she so desperately wants to buy into the idea of what she really wants in her life, which is, you know, a steady man, a father for her kids, or a husband, a man who just, you know, loves her and loves the family unit. And I think that she wants that so badly. And, you know, she's seeking that relationship, you know, that she, I don't think she had that with her father.
Mm.
And, you know, she's really seeking that connection, that male connection.
Just the feeling of being wanted, I think.
Yeah.
She's been struggling with that since, I mean, the beginning.
That's right.
And I think that's why her and Mary Jane's relationship is so, like, close, but it's so, like, stubborn at the same time. Why they nod heads a little bit, because it's, you know, they deal with the same stuff just on a different level.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, so we see that after their little rendezvous, that baby daddy is basically trying to scram her out of her money.
Kicks him like a bird.
Right.
When that check coming, girl.
I know.
It's income tax. No,
yeah,
it's not.
Exactly.
You're getting a settlement.
Exactly.
But she gets $150,000, a little less than what everybody was thinking she was going to get. And then she goes to the car lot to get the car with her baby daddy. And she was going to get, you know, something a little cheaper. Than he was like, no, I want this one. It's $45,000. Do you think she should have given him the car?
No.
Or
no.
Or given him
not.
A car?
No. No.
Hell no.
No. No.
Okay, no.
I think he should have got a bucket, though. If she were to give him a car, he should have got a bucket.
The $13,000 joint, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. $9,000 for a Mazda will get you to and from to see your daughter. Because that was the point, right? He needed to see his daughter.
Let me help you with this bus ticket, though.
Hello.
Hello.
Right. Hello.
There you go. Buy your own damn car.
Hello.
$200 for a bicycle.
Because Niecy's just now getting herself settled, and I think that it was just like, boo, you get you together first before you start trying to help Dante, you know?
Right, right. And it's so sad, because a lot of times, especially for women, you know, who who have children and like, okay, I want to do more to make sure that I can make my child and their child, the, you know, their father's relationship be really good. I'll do whatever I need to.
Right.
And so, of course, she wants to buy him a car, but at the same time, he's a grown man.
It's a fine line.
It's a grown man. You gotta let a grown man be.
I think this is a great opportunity for like a Susie Orman moment.
Hello.
Like, financial planning.
Susie Orman pops her head in the window and says, wait a minute.
Hold on, DC. Don't do this.
Like, you can't just trick all the money off right away. Like, breaks. Like,
exactly.
Split it up in like a third to this, save some. Mm-hmm. She came in the house with shopping bags. Like,
yes. And some of them were Tiffany blue.
Hello. I know that.
She went to Tiffany's.
Right. There ain't gonna be no money left.
Hello.
But of course, Grandpa Patrick sees that. He talks to Travion. Travion spills the beans and says that they've been hanging out with Dante. And he tells Niecy, you know, he says, promise me that you won't give him any money. Oop, too late. Too late for that.
Yeah. And she said it with just a straight face. I promise. I know, she doesn't. I hope later on in the like down the road she'll feel bad about that. She'll actually feel like
she's gonna blow up in her face because she's gonna catch him riding around getting it with some chick in that car that she paid for.
So does he have a job? Does baby daddy Asian guy have a job?
He said in the beginning that he had a job, but he needed to get a better one. So maybe like a McDonald's type of job.
I mean, I don't know about that.
Okay,
I don't know that he has any kind of steady job.
Dante hasn't had a job this whole time through. We've never seen Dante at work.
Right.
We've seen Niecy at work, though. Barely, briefly.
Exactly.
But Dante ain't never had no job.
He's Tommy. Yeah. He's Tommy from Martin. You ain't got no job.
We gonna find out to the end when it's all said and done what he was doing.
Exactly.
We may never know.
Oh, God. And he's not taking care of the kids either, right?
He's not. He's putting, you know, he's playing around with Travion.
Come on, cut it out. Son. He's stepping up for Travion.
Okay.
Child, you got to be gone.
I think it's, you know what? It's just the fact that he is a presence that is like, oh, he's so good with those kids. Mm-hmm. Really? What? Let's define good.
That's the truth.
You know?
Because she already said, like, if I get you a car, you're probably going to leave him at daycare stranded.
Yes. I can see that now. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Right.
For sure. Make sure you guys use the hashtag ABTVBMJ. Let us know what your thoughts are. Tweet us, because you tweet us during the show, we'll definitely shout you out. All right, let's move on and talk about Mary Jane. So, of course, she wakes up. She's sleepy at the job. She's like, oh, she had the nice rendezvous with her boo thing, Lee, Mr. Lunzian. And she finds out that she's covering the awards show that Rhonda typically covers, but Rhonda's not covering because she's getting awarded something. What do you guys think about their relationship, especially in this episode? Because at first it seems they're chummy, and then we see that they're not. So what do you think is going to happen with them? Or what do you
Mary Jane and Lee?
So far? No, Mary Jane so far and Rhonda. Oh.
I think that it's really testy. Only because I've been in this situation, so I kind of have a different kind of look on it, too.
Were you Rhonda or were you Mary Jane?
I was Mary Jane.
Okay.
and I feel like, too, the thing about it is so testy because you go into it like this is a mentorship type situation and this is somebody that I admire. This is someone I'm looking up to. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned so much from you, whether you know it or not. So I'm going into it already in a fangirl mode, but I'm trying to be professional with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wanting to learn from you, so I'm like excusing all signs, you know, and it's kind of like blinded. So it's almost like you always have to be on your toes and know that that person is not always going to be your idol, but they're going to be your, I mean, they're your peer at this point. Right. So you got to be on your A game at all times. You don't know who's coming for your spot, you know?
That's true. Okay.
And you knew me, you know?
That's true. Right. Mm-hmm. I never liked, well, you know, I can't say I never liked it because it's only second episode, but I just...
I just don't like her already.
It's the second episode.
I ain't never liked her. No, I would just say I can see that Rhonda is very just, like, cold-hearted. I understand that Mary Jane is, you know, this is her mentor, this is her idol, this is everything. But when she starts asking questions about your man, about your personal life, you know, you start giving in, you know, other information that really doesn't need to be said.
Right.
That's a little tug right there.
Yeah. Well, but that's not man, Mary you know? Jane's fault. I mean, that's not Rhonda's fault. That's Mary Jane's fault.
It is. Okay.
Because let's be honest, Rhonda is a boss. She's been doing this job for a very long time. She knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. If Mary Jane decides to divulge too much too soon, that's on her.
That's
a rookie mistake. She is fangirling out. She needs to get her head in the game and see what's going on. There was a moment where you were telling her some things, and I was like, she needs to listen to Carr because there's no way Rhonda's just going to come in.
Yeah.
Just going to let Mary Jane take over. I think Rhonda's keeping her enemies very close, which is smart. Mm-hmm. She's playing the game.
Right.
I know. I actually like Kara a lot this season. Like, I've always liked your character, but this season...
Did you not like her?
No, but, okay, so, like, before you... Kara's character was getting the divorce. Now it's kind of like, okay, Kara's getting into her own. She's finally accepting the fact that, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm probably not meant to be married. I am a mother, and I'm going to do that, but I love my job. I love hustling. And I think she's gotten more comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. At least that's what it seems like, especially talking to Mary Jane and how ruthless Kara is. I really like your character. What's some of the differences that you've seen this season for yourself versus last season?
I agree with what you just said, actually. You know, we wanted to explore more of Kara coming into her own and coming out of the painful, like the super pained woman going through a divorce and having to, you know, deal with everything she was going through with her kids and her ex and everything else, and sort of starting to explore who she is and, you know, kind of go with her dream and what she wants to do and sort of not be a victim anymore in her own divorce and relationship and everything else, but instead for her to go forward with her ambitions and everything. So I think this season you see more of that with Kara and you see her exploring, you know, more of who she is as a woman, not just as this working woman, this mother, this ex-wife, this, you know, boss, friend, producer to Mary Jane. You also get to see a little bit of the buildup to, you know, her as a woman.
Right. So you touched on it for a second, talking about she's a mom. So where are your kids at right now?
The kids are in Atlanta.
Okay.
But they with their daddy.
You don't remember from the last season?
They with their daddy.
She said she had to help Max. Yes. Wait, was that like a FaceTime help?
Right. That was a FaceTime help.
Had to
That was a FaceTime help.
Did he finish the report?
He did.
Okay.
That's one thing with Kara. It's like that's why she's in 10 different places. Because she's like, I got to do this. I got to make sure that's done. I got to do that. And she does get to see her kids, though, and they come visit her and stuff like that. You know, it's complicated, but it's what she had to do.
Right.
You
know?
Right.
That makes sense.
Make sure you guys ask the questions and tweet us, ABTVBMJ. Use that hashtag and we'll shout you guys out. All right, let's keep talking about this. So Rhonda seems to be, there's that quote from the Big Bad Wolf that says, you know, you're a lonely girl. Like, you shouldn't be a lonely girl, you know, walking by yourself in the woods. Oh, I was like, well, that is a perfect quote for this episode.
Perfect
quote. Because we see that's exactly what Rhonda is. She's she's a wolf.
But is she a wolf, though? Or
she's a wolf.
She's maintaining her position. If you were coming for my position, I'm going to play my part.
And
to
you
make
better
sure
be a wolf.
That nobody comes for it.
You better be a wolf.
I mean, you got to think about it, especially in the game
I just saw that meme with the wolf and the mouth and the blood. Okay. I'm here
She
for
just
the
had
wolf.
The visual.
Yeah. She's okay. Okay.
But you do have to think about it, though. I mean, it's a mean world out here, especially in the industry like that. You know, it's easy for you to have a job one day and to not have one the next, you know, off of a simple slip up or just, you know, things just aren't working out. You know what I mean? So you always fight for your spot because it's always somebody younger, somebody prettier, and then that one person happens to be your same skin, you know. Yeah.
She's playing her actually very well.
Very.
Like, let me help you with your makeup artist. Let me help you with your wardrobe. Let me help you with she has her like right where she wants her. And there was a moment tonight where no shade, I love Wendy Williams, but I was like, she reminds me of Wendy Williams. Like, it could be her sister, girlfriend,
cousin or something.
No, because she's a woman of in the industry. She's on TV, she does news. I was like, okay, I see you, Mama Wendy. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
no shade.
That's exactly what was going down. And you see how Rhonda she's definitely playing her. She's got the dresses for her. She tries to connect Mary Jane with Corey, tries to push them off on each other.
Like, don't bring the comedian. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she's holding out the candy.
Yeah, she is. And she's doing it so easily. Even when she says the comment about the comedian, she's like, oh, two kids, okay.
I'm sure he'll make everybody laugh.
Right.
Yeah. Mind you, she didn't say don't bring him. She just
she did. She's
made comments.
Doing this beautifully.
Like, mind games.
And it's, but why do we seem to think that because of our skin tone that we have to pit ourselves against each other, because at first it's supposed to be Garrett trying to pit these two against each other. Then we see, right. I think that's just a ploy. I honestly think it's now it's starting to change for me. I don't think it's Garrett. I think it's Rhonda.
I don't think that has to do with skin tone.
No, what she's saying is, you know, basically there can only be room for one black woman at the table. Mm-hmm. That's how they see us. There's only,
well, yes.
I get that. But what I'm saying is, if that's the truth, If you really believe that that's the truth, then you don't believe that there's room for all of us to win.
That's the truth when it comes to your job and your position in corporate America and in the industry.
It's just real.
Yeah, we might, I might be like, yes, we can both sit here, look at our panel, we can both be here and do it. But what the man is saying is, sorry, we only need one black person. Sorry.
But I don't know, I just have the whole different mentality on it, because I feel like the best man
wins. Not saying that
wins.
It's right.
So if Rhonda is the best anchor for the show, then she should get the chair. You know what I'm saying? Right. Mary Jane, it's not your show. It's not your time. I'm sorry, boo. There's another chair somewhere else. That is yours. Maybe one day this will be yours. But at this point, it's not. I'm just a firm believer that what is yours is yours.
Just trust
the
process.
You don't have to, like, chop somebody down to get it.
Well, see, and that's something that I actually made a note about, because I wanted to ask, what's the deal with the rise and fall of Rhonda from Kara's perspective? Because you go to bat hard about Rhonda like you got a personal vendetta. Like, Rhonda, listen, but I'm coming for you.
Valerie Pettiford said the same. She's like, bitch, why are you wearing
that? Yes.
Well, you know.
Especially, and I'll say this too, especially being a woman of color as well. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you're still in that situation to some extent.
Right.
But Mary Jane's your girl.
Yes.
Right.
That's my girl. Right. And for me, it's not even about color, because we're all minority as far as we go. And for me, it's all about getting Mary Jane where I need her to be, where I want her to be. And because I'm thinking about Mary Jane, but I'm also thinking about myself.
Yeah,
because
you said if you don't win, I don't win.
That's right. You're like a package deal.
Right. And I brought her into this
because
I know what she's capable of doing, and I know that she can be the lead anchor, and we will strike gold.
So we doing whatever we need to do to take.
We doing whatever we need to. All I needed was that little bit of, oh, Rhonda's fielding offers. And that was it. I ran, you know, Kara runs with that.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm going to figure out how to get this done. But obviously, you know, Rhonda is calculated. So what she did in that episode, you know, she totally used Mary Jane and made Mary Jane sympathetic toward her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then she went around her, and she had a plan of action, and she stomped anything that Mary Jane was going to do.
Quick on her feet, that's a vet for you.
Which goes back to what Kara's telling Mary Jane, she is not an ally.
Right. You called her a roadblock.
That's right.
She's not your friend just because she looked like you. She took you under her wing. She gave you pretty dresses. She told you war stories about her.
Exactly.
Horrible producer does not make you a team.
Keep your enemies close.
Yes. Right. And so I love this when Kara and MJ have the fight. And they're calling each
at
other
the ball.
Punta and Miela and all this stuff.
I know.
So funny. That is, first of all, that's a real homegirl fight right there.
Right.
Okay. Adios, Punta.
Right. That was hilarious.
Right. And then the next day, just because we're sharing a cab.
Right. Exactly. You don't have to talk.
Okay. So what did she say in Spanish?
So what did I say? Uh-huh. What did Kara
say in Spanish the first
time? So Kara says, you know what? You talk a lot of shit. And I'm just gonna leave right now. And so Mary Jane says to her, goodbye, puta. Adios, puta. Goodbye, bitch. Fine. Go, bitch. Bye.
Yes.
Does Gabrielle Union know Spanish in real life? Is she actually
She knows a little bit of Spanish. Mm. She grew up
in the valley. She has some culture.
In Southern California. Yes. And we make sure, you know, I'll make sure if she ever has to say something. Okay, no, say it like this. Put a twist over it.
Had to be the home girl. Hold on. Come here now. Let me help you with your role now.
Get it together. Yes. Get it together. Okay, so then, of course, we see that as far as that storyline goes, we see what happens with Mary Jane and her and Rhonda. What happened is that she ends up looking into Corey's, I guess, financial situation because he's got a house. She looked up the area he lived in. Mm-hmm. Find out he has two homes, only to find out that the second home is not his. It's actually Ellison, who is Rhonda's husband. Ooh. He's got Becky with the brownstone, y'all.
Megan, my heart started hurting. Literally,
stealing
dropped
money
to the,
from the king of girls.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
Heart disgusting. Dropped to the floor. Only because it's so reminiscent of that. All I could think about in this scene was David, because I remember her being at her desk and then seeing David's baby mama. Oh. And then I'm like, you looking up another man again, and now it's Becky with the brownstone. What'd you say? Becky with the brownstone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Becky with the good hair first, or Becky with the brownstone.
Oh, Lord.
So now, yeah, so the second time she's like, ooh, I know what that felt like, even though I was in the same situation. So, you know, do you think that Mary Jane should have told Rhonda at all? She told her immediately, but you think maybe she should have waited, or do you think she should have never said anything?
I don't think she should have said anything. I think that really wasn't her place, you know, because it's stepping into Rhonda's personal life. You know, what's going on between her and her husband is between her and her husband.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, hold on a second, though. Because if you say that, if it's just between her and her husband, then would that be okay for Kara to tell Garrett? Because Kara said, I'm going to tell Garrett.
Ooh.
If it's personal life, does
that's
that...
true.
Kara ain't Mary Jane, though, either.
That's true. And it's not Kara's marriage. So
I think
Kara
she
really
should have. I think she was acting on emotion and not... Right. She wasn't being rational and didn't think about it. I think she should have took two beats and then, like, thought about it, because she was
fangirling. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, yeah, and she loved her. She was acting like they were friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ain't your homegirl.
And, you know, that's what you would do with a friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? But she's not her friend.
Mm-hmm. But and that's so messed up, because it's like, yo, this chick Jeff gave you some very good, like, this is news you needed to hear about your husband. He's a cheater. He's cheating on you. The least you could have done was like, you know what, we're rivals here, but I'm going to give you a one pass, because at least you told me about my husband. You didn't have to tell me at all. You could have just went on and did your thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least you told me.
But Rhonda is sneaky. Who's to say she ain't know?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
She probably knew.
And again, she is a boss. She's not going to let her family and her money. Remember when she was sitting there drunk at the table? I am a multi-million-dollar woman.
Yeah.
She's not going to let anybody take that away from her.
Period.
Right.
Too swiftly.
Right.
And she might use that against her and shoot the messenger with Mary Jane. Because a lot of women can be real shady and real fickle when it comes to you telling them about their man and
right.
their business.
That's true.
Like,
yes.
They take it out on you instead of the man. So,
yeah.
I just...
That's true.
Right. That is and then, true. Of course, Corey, we see that Mary Jane tries to apologize to Corey and says, I didn't know she was going to fire you on TV. Didn't know she was going to do that. And then we find out a bit of information here, which is Corey's like, I'm just going to go overseas and work for them still. I got a probation.
Right.
It's no big deal. And if this is when I started getting a little scared, because he said, when Rhonda offers you a deal, you take it. You don't want to mess with her. And I was like, oh.
Okay, like, checkmate.
Duly noted. She's something's brewing here. And then we find out at the end of the episode that Rhonda brings in the one guy that messed up poor Mary Jane's career.
What was his name?
Justin Talbot, played by the handsome Michael Ealy.
Jesus.
Hey, Michael.
We all need a moment. Like, hey, Michael. Hey, yeah, that was a punk move right there. But I think it's going to be different, though, because Mary Jane's wiser. She's older in her career. She's not the same young journalist that she was when she was dealing with a producer like Justin Talbot.
Right. Because
you learn some things like, oh, you're not going to... I've had that happen to me before. Okay, I'm not that same intern. Okay, right. Just to let you know. A little different now.
Exactly.
But it may still be a soft spot. Only because we haven't, like, this whole time we've been knowing her to work at SNC. And we never touched on the CNN story ever until now, four seasons later.
Yes.
And so it's almost like, oh, he's coming back, and I wonder what he's coming back with. Mm-hmm. And now I know he's connected to her. Corey done told me this. Now I gotta really be on my P's and Q's. Like, I ain't got time.
Yes.
It's too much. Too much for my mental.
All right, yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. We'll go through our predictions later. But let's talk about Lee and, of course, Mary Jane.
Now, he's a stalker.
You're a stalker.
He showed up after the dinner. He was there looking for your notepad. Really? He left it for real.
He left it. It had his material in it.
You wrote it. You know it. It's in your head.
He said he did it the next day. He was like, I need it. He has shows at night. He might have needed that material.
He is a part of the Creep Squad. He is loving him.
Leave me alone. Creep
Squad. Wait, but what makes you say that?
But he's always popping up. And when he was talking about when they were sitting in the theater, all of a sudden with like his family, his kids, his baby mama, like he's a creep. He just
a Creep Squad. I'm weak.
He might be. I will say that because 2 episodes in and he has already shown up twice.
Popped up twice, uninvited.
Just popped up. That is.
Y'all gotta admit creepy. Though, the first pop up was kind of cute.
No.
When he popped up at the job, yeah. That was cute.
No. Outside. No.
Allie, you have stalkers and you are
cool. Y'all, that's cute. That was cute.
You are okay with your stalkers, Allie.
Oh my God.
Actually, you might be the stalker.
No.
I knew it.
Allie, you are stalking people.
I thought that was the cutest moment. A, because he just popped out of nowhere. She's live on television and it's just like.
Do you hear what you just said?
It was cute.
Out of nowhere, live on
stalker.
Just popped out of nowhere.
But you know. No, that, okay. Isn't that the risk you take, like though, him. When you just meet somebody and you just sneak with them? Mm-hmm. So you don't know what you're messing with.
You sure don't.
But he's persistent.
Because that's what stalkers do. Yeah. They are persistent.
They find you.
They don't give up.
Yeah, I just want Mary Jane to be in love. Okay, don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Do you know I will not post certain things on social media because I don't want anybody to pop up where I'm at?
Yeah, afterwards.
She said to afterwards.
You know? Yeah. Because people pop up uninvited a lot.
Yeah. They sure do. That's what that Mace is for, honey. Get that Amazon. They ship it on
911. Security.
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 You've been bomb queen.
Right.
What?
Right.
Angela Johnson.
Yes.
Thank you.
Love her.
Nobody
love
knew
her.
What
love
I was talking
Angela.
About last week. Okay.
What? That's my girl. Okay. I love her.
What are you saying?
I love her.
She's
hilarious.
Right. Love her. Sorry.
All right. So let's keep talking about Lee, Mr. London. So there, he says Mary Jane and him have just had a nice little rendezvous. She says she wants a movie theater popcorn, so he decides to take her to the movies. No one's there because he wanted an hour just to talk to her.
That I was thought cute. They were going to get it on.
That was
that's
cute.
What I thought.
I was a little freaked out. I was like, wait, is this an abandoned building as well?
He was working on his, his way out of Creep Squad.
What do you think about Lee?
You mean as Kara?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kara's kind of leery of everyone at first, but, I think she kind of likes him. He's different. The fact that he does have a family, the fact that he does have a life, he's a comedian, kind of shows a hustle,
right.
Okay. And it kind of shows that. To me, the way I look at it is, he tells her right off the bat about his kids.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't try to hide it. He doesn't try to lie to her. I kind of like the way he's in her face and upfront and sort of like, hey, this is how I feel about you.
Mm,
you know,
right.
this is who I am. And he's not playing a game.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay.
Is he or is he stalkery?
Well,
come on, Kara. Listen, Lisa, I've been with you this whole time now. I was with you all up until now. Yes. Don't ruin it.
No. I mean, to me, honestly, he's not stalkery to me. I just don't think he's stalkery. I don't.
You
I
like
don't.
His vulnerability and his honesty.
I do. I like that. I kind of like that he puts it on the table and he's not like trying to be something he's not or, trying to make up stories or trying to be shady. And I kind of really like the way he's sort of like so immediately in tune with Mary Jane.
Hashtag in tune squad.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Like he sort of like already knows she's like a riddle. This is what you are and this is what you, but this is what you're running.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of in tune.
That's true.
And that's what I like about him, that he's, he's real and he's looking at things. He's not doing the facade that she does.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, she pretends a lot and she kind of has this persona, this facade. And he sees right through that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not ashamed or embarrassed to call her on it. And when she walks into the restaurant, he's like, I can't deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
You are this and you did this and you need. And he kind of presents himself so that she she wants to be honest with him. She opens up.
She wants to be naked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exposed.
She wants to be naked.
To be naked. Yes.
Yeah. She's been naked.
She's been naked.
By a lot of naked. Right. Yeah. Man. Yeah. But it's a good thing that you say that she's she kind of lies about a lot of stuff, or she puts this facade up.
Yeah.
Because we see that in the episode that when she gets the offer from Rhonda to come to the awards show and bring a date, she asks Lee, but at the end of it, she decides to rescind her invitation. But she does it in a way like, oh, I just have to work so much. I've got so much to do. Right. When in reality, she was just like, no, I should probably go by myself. There's going to be a lot of money. Corey's going to be there. Ooh. All right. That stuff. It's fake, girl. He was like, just tell me what's the deal?
Right.
What is the deal?
Exactly.
Very, and that's real. And I love that about at least their dynamic, because it just seems like Lee just puts
100.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
He sees through it.
Mm-hmm. He sees through it. And she's like, you know, when he says something to her and she says, oh, something about the driver looks like he's waiting for something. And she comes out and she says, well, we never said we were going to be exclusive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he says to her, gee, the girl I met at the club, I thought she was looking for something more.
Mm-hmm. Because she said, tell me you love me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is, to me, is really awesome because he's like, I thought you were looking for more, and I want to be the. I want to be more.
I'm the more.
Mm. I'm the more.
Oh, mm-hmm. You're trying to make me win me over on him. Mm.
Come on now.
Come it's on. How you look at it, right?
It's wrong. How you look at it.
It's wrong.
Yeah. Not. See, that's why sometimes girls get it mistaken because they're not seeing the realness and the rawness in a man and being who he is, and he's not playing a game, and they're sort of like thrown off. It's like, wait, oh, he's weird. Wait a minute.
I mean, I just need a text message before you pop up. Like, let me, like, 15 minutes.
He texted her. He said he kept texting, but she didn't text her.
Not at my job.
Girl, you check your text at your job. Don't even lie. You check your text at your job. I text you at your job.
What if my lip gloss ain't popping yet? Like, let me print and press.
Let me get my life together.
I can be cute. You knew. You know, when you got new booty, you got to be cute all the time.
Yes, valid.
True. That is true.
Can't never have all day.
I mean, for the first 90 days, like, you know.
So then, of course, she tries to bring his joke book back to him after she comes to her senses, as Mary Jane does. It takes her a minute, but she gets there. And she just walks in on him. She kind of pops up on him. He's been popping up on her. She popped up on him. Mm-hmm. That's the status of the relationship.
The pop up.
But I thought it was kind of rude how she was like, can we talk? No, I'm here with my friends. So when he told her, yes, talk. Yeah. Right here.
I loved how vulnerable she was. Like, that was really, that takes a lot of balls to be
in front
that
of strangers.
Vulnerable. Yes, in front of his friends, strangers, to be so open and honest. So she got points.
Because I'd have been like, okay, well, Lee, this is what's going on.
Hello.
I would have been like this, like, can your you friends, I don't want
for
your
a minute.
Right.
Like, oh, you can't be excused. Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you like this. I don't want your friends to hear.
Exactly. That's so valid. But I think that was the great part. And I think that even looking back to, like, the first episode with the matchmaker situation, she was like, I can't fool with you because you got some issues that you got to work out yourself. You know what I'm saying? And I think she's starting to come into herself. But also, shout out to Jermaine. I see you. We went to, we're from Alabama together.
Oh, hey,
one
man.
Of the comedian in the little friend gang who she had to confess over to. So, yeah. Hey, Jermaine.
Hi, Jermaine. Shout out to you.
I thought it was a little bit much when she said everything in front of the friends. I mean, I love how open she was, but I just would have thought, you know, let me just tell you a little bit how I feel. Like, and then when we get behind closed doors, I'll let you in.
But at this point, sometimes you get to a point where you like, you know what? I don't care. I have nothing to lose. And that's what she said. She's like, I'm tired. I am tired of running. I'm sorry, friends. Right. I don't know, y'all.
And being lonely.
But I'm tired.
Yes, and he said, just lonely. Stop. I was like, oh, come on, Lee.
Stop running.
Just stop. Okay.
You know? This spoke to me, honey, because I've been in this situation plenty of times. Lord, I don't know what I want. So thank you for this episode. Y'all are speaking to me. Y'all are helping me. I will stop running. All right? I think I might run a little bit more, but I'm going to stop running.
You're going to slow. No, you're not going to sprint. You're going to jog.
No, I'll probably just do a fast walk, you know, like with the power walk arms. Yes. That's it. Yes. I'm going to stop running. Thank you, Mary
prance?
Jane. Thank you, Lee.
I'm prancing, Lee.
I'm weak.
All right, you guys, let's go ahead and get into some of our predictions.
Ooh. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
He sounds scary this season. Right.
Yeah. That's every season.
I mean, like the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's been a while. All right, let's see. So, everybody give one prediction, starting with Howard.
I definitely predict this rivalry with Rhonda and Mary will go somewhere we've never seen before. This is going to be one of those sophisticated rivalries. Something, well, it's going to be like, I'm not going to be in your face, but you're going to know I'm here type of thing. I'm going to set up the traps for you. Okay. And I can definitely see May Jane trying to get into it. It's going to really enhance her, like her little comeback and her little shadiness, mm-hmm. a whole new level of petty.
Okay. All right. What's going to happen? What? Give me a different prediction, Allie. Ooh, somebody me. Else. Another storyline.
Kara. I think that she is probably going to take a seat back a little bit from Mary Jane because she's tired of telling her over and over again and just letting her learn the hard way. And I think she's going to start doing her for the rest of the season just a little bit. Mm.
Ooh. Mm. Is that true, girl? Tell us.
I try to get you fired.
Do tell.
I try to get you fired. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. She's being Rhonda right now.
She is, right?
All right, Fania, another prediction. Something else.
Let's see. I'm going to say Mary Jane is going to use the Rhonda husband, Becky scandal to take her spot.
Mm. Okay, I see. I'm gonna go with the Justin Talbot. I think, I don't know what, we're gonna find out what happens, but I think it's gonna turn around where now, I don't know if they've had like a history together, but I think if they haven't, it's either, or if they have, it's gonna be rekindled some kind of way, and then it's gonna flip on Rhonda, because she brought Justin here trying to, I guess, turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ooh. I think it might flip on her towards the end, or if Justin and Mary Jane had a very unfavorable past, they never dealt with each other, I think they will deal with each other now, and that's, it'll still turn around on Rhonda.
Sophisticated rivalry. Mm. I'm gonna play you at your own game.
And, yep. and it's just because Michael Ealy is fine, so yeah. Girl, oh, yes, so do cute. That. Do that, girl. Do that. What about Niecy?
Lord, ooh. Niecy, I think they're going to find, one, her grandparents are going to find out about Dante, period. For sure. Because the baby, Travion is just out there, and she's going to spill her own beans if not.
Well, and she's going to trick the money off. Like, that's her storyline. She's not sorry.
I love her. There's got to be something else, though, with Niecy. There's going to, she seems to be a little, she's on that, like, you know how that cusp of, like, you used to be just a reckless teen, right. And then there's that moment where you're not fully an adult, but you're, mm-hmm. like, almost, like, you're coming to the realization, like, that's stupid.
She may get it together.
I think she's in that whole her thinking. Part. Like, every time she makes the bad mistake, like, there's a moment to where she's thinking, like, oh, should I? She, like we said last week, use the money for your hair salon. Like,
invest in yourself. Do something. Yeah.
No, wait, she gonna get that car repossessed so she can have it back.
She gonna get it repoed or she gonna sell it?
She gonna try to get it back.
Okay, not a repo.
Oh, sorry, wrong word. But you know, she gonna get the car back is what I'm saying. She's gonna
be in her possession
from Dante. Okay.
She gonna take the car back.
Yes. All right, Lisa, give us one prediction. It has nothing to do with the show, but something you would like to see happen in the future. Season 5.
Jeez, the ways. Oh my god.
If the writer's like, okay, Lisa, what would you like for Kara's character?
Okay. Oh, for Kara. Okay. Yes. Because I was gonna say I would love to see Mary Jane like find real happiness and love and that sort of.
But would we watch that? Is you know the what question.
I mean? Right. Not is that for real?
Well, would we watch? Well, that comes with. It's complications too.
Mm-hmm. True. Oh, okay. True.
Love ain't easy, girl. Okay, I've been with my husband 32 years. I could write books. But it would, you know, I just sort of feel like when you find somebody who you love and you have that bond with it, that it really carries you through a lot. Even when things are really tough, and it would be great to see Mary Jane grow up that way and sort of find that kind of a relationship. For Kara, I would love to see Kara sort of just feel good about life, like just, you know, not be uptight about anything in her life, and for her to reach her goal of that producer status that she really wants to reach because she works so tirelessly and mm-hmm. so hard, and I would just love to see her in love. That would be nice.
Yes.
Right?
Cause with a man to check her, yes.
Yes, because everything for Kara has always been hard. Mm-hmm. And it would just be nice for her to have love.
I like that. You hear that, writers?
Love for Kara.
Yeah.
Love for Kara. All right, Lisa, we thank you so much for joining us. What are some upcoming projects that you have that we can check you out on?
Well, I am on Rosewood.
Yes, by the way, you do amazing on Rosewood.
Thank you.
I love you on Rosewood.
Thank you. I have a lot of fun on Rosewood. It is a lot of fun. So I love that character. Mm-hmm. That's just an outrageous character, and it's way too much fun. They let me do whatever I want.
Nice.
So I feel really blessed to be doing that too. And then I did this film called Victor that, God willing, it's finally going to come to the States. It's sort of playing Latin America first because it's a true story about this Latin guy, Spanish guy. And I play his mom in it. It's a really beautiful story, and it takes place in the 50s. And I can't wait for it to come here and people to see it because
is he a boxer or what is the?
No, actually, he's like one of the biggest pastors in the country.
Wow. Nice.
And even in other countries as well. But he started out as a very young teenager from Puerto Rico who moves to New York with his family and gets hooked on heroin and just gangs and everything. And it's just really sad what happens to him, but how he overcomes and rises above that. It's a beautiful story.
Oh, yes. We got to check that out for sure. And then anything going on in your personal life as far as like businesses or anything you want to shout out?
Business.
Events.
No, I'm about to do some construction on my dang house, which is enough stress for anybody. But I'm also working on developing some projects. You know, I'm very excited about that. And just sort of creating that, you know, that platform of more roles and better roles. And, you know, you guys touched a little bit on diversity. And I always say, because I'm on the national board of SAG-AFTRA, our union, I always say diversity is not just a black and white issue.
Right.
Mm. It's a huge issue. It's Latino, it's Asian, right. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Indian, it's Arab, it's all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would love, you know, for us to get to a place where we can really kind of see that, how the world really is. And I want to be a part of creating some of that somehow.
Yay.
You will be.
It's New Year's resolutions. Your son does a lot of fitness stuff, right?
Yes.
So
yes,
where does. Can people who are looking to make, wait, it's already the 18th, if they haven't started now, but plug him. He does fitness
absolutely.
Stuff, right?
Yes.
Where can they find him on
Scotty
Instagram?
Scotty C. Fit on Instagram. Okay. Yes. And he's actually, one of his best friends, Lionel Coleman, is doing Lion Fit, and they are creating this company together. Mm-hmm. And it's all about fitness and eating right and fitness wear and product. And so, you know, they're little entrepreneurs. They're trying to create really great stuff that's different. And I think it's really cool because they're young, mm-hmm. so they're really in touch with what's out there for the younger crowd and what fitness looks like and what that feels like for, you know, the up-and-coming generation. So
now, does your son always say stuff to you like, does he try to give you tips and you like, leave me alone? Or is it like he's your personal trainer?
No, he's awesome. Like, he knows the body so well. He does meal preps for people.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And he just knows how to cook, and he knows what you should be eating, what you shouldn't be eating, how much of this you have to do to get to there. And he's just, I mean, he goes like this all the time because I'm like, how did you do that? He was like, well, I needed to have more abs, so I had to do this and this. So it's pretty amazing how much he knows about
the body. Do you guys work out together?
Sometimes we do, although usually he's crazy busy and he's off doing whatever and I'm off doing whatever. But, you know, we've gone to the gym together. It's really sweet. Mm. And it's really actually funny because he always says, Mom, they thought you were my girlfriend. They're looking at me and they're like, why is that? It's like, no, that's my mom.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was like, mom. Really? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You got it, girl.
And everything health-wise with you and your sister, everything's great as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're doing great. Thank God. You know, we're on medication, but we're doing really, really well. So far, so good. And I feel very blessed. And you know, happy to be okay.
Well, you got our prayers.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We have our prayers. And where can your fans find you on social media?
Okay. So on Instagram, I am at The Real Lisa Vidal. And then on Twitter, I am at The Lisa Vidal.
Okay.
Okay. And then Facebook, I have a really great Facebook following because, you know, us older folks, we do some Facebook. That's right.
Well, no, you young girlfriend now, well, at the gym. So.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, absolutely. Embrace it. But I embrace it completely, but I don't forget my peeps. So on Facebook, I am Lisa Vidal. So, perfect. Yeah, and I totally interact with my fans. I love my fans. I so appreciate them. They're so wonderful and so loyal and so complimentary, and we're just so grateful. Yeah.
Well, thank you. We're so grateful to you because you come back every season. You have this wonderful, warm spirit. You're so, you guys, I'm telling you, in Hollywood, there's not a lot of people like Lisa because she is so genuine and she's so sweet. Mm-hmm. She's so chill and cool. Like, she's your homegirl for real. Yeah. A lot of these actresses we can't do that with, but Lisa we can, and we love you. Yes. Thank you so much
love
for joining
you
us.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. You can find me, Megan Thomas, at MegScoop on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere, Snapchat. Hit me up. Where can they find you?
Phinia Thomas, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, at Phinia Thomas.
Indeed, Allie Washington, at Allie the Pub, across all social media platforms.
And Howard the Third, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Howard the Third.
And make sure you guys use that hashtag ABTVBMJ throughout the week. We'll be looking at your comments and we'll shout you out. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next week for episode 3 of Being Mary Jane. See you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.